This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
When I was in high school, I was a good student. I was okay. I didn't half study, but I liked English more than I liked math. And the reason I liked English more than I liked math was, you know, you could fudge a little bit on English. Math, you had to be very precise. They always want the right answer in math. And in English, you have the ability to move all over the place. But I remember in English, we did a study. One time we had to study American poets. And I'm not a big poetry. I know it'd be great if I was more cultured, but I'm not. But I did study one poet by the name of American poet, Robert Frost. And Robert Frost wrote a poem. It's probably one of the only poems I still remember parts of. And it's called The Road Less Traveled. And in The Road Less Traveled, Robert Frost talks about taking, that had two paths, two choices, and he took the one that was less traveled. And as we finish our series this morning on Help, Lord, I want to talk this morning about two less traveled paths to help. Two less traveled paths that will help you. You know, there's always a couple of choices. We always have a couple of paths. Usually one of them is easy, one of them is challenging. It's inactivity, not doing anything, lounging around, that's an easy path. Exercise, that's a challenging path. Eating junk food, that's an easy path. Eating clean is a challenging path and less tasty. But there was a couple who had 85 years old. They had lived in relative good health over the past few years because the wife insisted that they eat healthy. And they died in a car crash and they went to heaven. They're getting a tour. George and Louise and St. Peter's leading them around and he shows them their mansion. It was beautiful. George looked at him and said, "What's this going to cost me?" And he said, "George, this is heaven. It's free." George didn't look real happy about that. Then they went and St. Peter showed him a golf club. It was beautiful. It was pristine. The course changed every week to mirror and exceed the greatest courses on earth. And George said, "Yeah, great. What are the green fees?" Peter said, "George, this is heaven. It's free." Then he took him over into the golf club, and the golf club was beautiful, and there was a buffet line. It seemed to stretch forever. And George's like, "What's the cover charge on this?" And Peter looked at him and said, "George, there is no cover charge. This is heaven. You don't get it. It's free." And George continued to look grumpy, and finally George said, "Well, where's the healthy stuff?" And Peter said, "That's the best thing." He said, "In heaven," he said, "you can eat all you want, and you never get fat, and you never get sick." And George went off. He started ranting and raving, and he walked away from him. And Louise walked over. She said, "What in the world is the matter with you?" He looked at her. He said, It's you. He said, "If it wasn't for you and them stupid bran muffins and that broccoli, we could have been here 10 years ago. It's a different path. But life gives us paths. It gives us paths of... Here's an easy path. Spending is an easy path. Saving is a challenging path. But how about this one? How about following the crowd and following the world and following your feelings is an easy path, and following the Lord Jesus Christ and living by faith is a challenging path. And there's always a couple of paths. And this morning I want to give you two. And they're less traveled. And they're less traveled and they're less obvious, but they're powerful. The first one is this. If you're looking for help, these are paths to help. The idea is to become a helper. Now, see, that's counterintuitive. The idea of helping when you need help doesn't make sense to our mind. And oftentimes, it's easier for people to kind of, when we need help and we're going through a difficult time and we need help, it's easy to pull in and go inside and begin to think about just what I need. But being willing to be a helper for someone else is counterintuitive because it's not thinking about need, it's thinking about seed. What seeds can I plant? And that's different. And yet they're doing all kinds of studies today and they're finding out for people who are looking to be happy. And I know that's always a big deal. Everyone wants to be happy. But here's what they're finding out about happiness. Happiness, you can't pursue happiness directly. You have to sneak up on it. And you sneak up on it by doing something over here and happiness comes to you. They found that the happiest people are those that volunteer, those that help others. They're happier and they live longer. It's seed instead of need. The second less traveled path is recognizing and affirming that you actually do have help. Now, see, this is very different. Oftentimes we're thinking, God, I need help, I need help, I need help. This is very different to begin to recognize and affirm, I do have help. And I'll show you why. Jesus is the one that said it. As he was talking to his disciples, he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. See, it's a whole different story. Instead of saying, I'm so helpless, I don't know what to do, it's a different story to begin saying, I have the helper living in me. That word advocate is a word that actually means comforter, encourager, strengthener, helper, standby. You've got someone living in you who's got all the help you need. So instead of affirming, I can't do it, we begin to confirm, thank God I have the help that's available to me. Now, it's a different path. It's a very different path. Back in the 1920s, a lot of Europe exited Europe. It was in a bad state. They'd just come out of World War I. They're in a bad state. And a man left his home in Eastern Europe, saved up all his money, told his family. He said, I will go to America. I will get a job. I will send for you. It took almost everything he had to buy a ticket on a ship to get to America. So he's getting ready to go to America, and he realizes, I do not have the money to eat on the ship. So he took some canned sardines and crackers. And that was going to be what he was going to eat. And it was difficult, but he was doing this for his family. So he got on the ship, and when they would blow the whistle for dinner or for lunch, he would watch as all the passengers walked into the dining room. He could smell the food. He could hear the clink of utensils. He wished he could be in there, but he would go back to his cabin, and he would open his canned sardines and his crackers, and he would eat them. Well, as the trip lasted a couple of weeks, and as they got closer to the shores, they're about a day away from the New York Harbor. And he happened to bump into the captain on the ship. And the captain looked at him. He said, I always pride myself on having dinner at least with every one of the passengers during the course of the trip. He said, I don't think I've met you. And the man shook his hand and said, in his broken English, he apologized. He said, Captain, he said, when I bought the ticket to sell the money I had, he said, I couldn't afford to eat in the dining room. He said, but I ate my sardine and my crackers. He said, thank you for a safe journey. And the captain went, oh. He said, they didn't tell you. And the man said, tell me what? He said, when you bought your ticket, you paid for all of your meals the entire time. 3 meals a day could have been yours. 3 meals a day when you could have gone into the dining room and sat down with nice cloth tablecloths and you could have had wonderful, eaten off fine china and had some wonderful food. But for the entire trip, you spent your entire time eating sardines and crackers because you did not know what was available to you. Guys, I got to tell you this. Listen, when you made Jesus Christ your Lord, you didn't just get heaven when you die. You get help while you're here. And we don't have to eat sardines and crackers. There's so much more that God has for us. And a lot of times, you got people eating sardines and crackers and begging for help when you can go into the dining room and enjoy God's best. And as we understand and recognize and affirm we have help, it makes all the difference in the world. It's a less traveled path. This morning, I want to share a story with you. And it's a story in the Bible that quite honestly, it's one of those stories that's easy to overlook. And you ever find stories in the Bible, you're like, why are these here? It'd be one of the questions we'll have to wait till we get to heaven and ask. But as I read the story, it's the story of Moses. Now, many of you know the story of Moses. He was born to a nice Hebrew family. They lived in Egypt at the time. The nation, Israel had not really formed into a nation. They were the Hebrew people. They were living under the most powerful country in the world, Egypt, and they were slaves. And because the Hebrews were God's people, they were exploding. It's kind of like the ark at baby dedication time. They were growing and exploding. And the Egyptians were concerned that the Hebrews were going to outnumber them and that as slaves they would rise up and be a rebellion. So Pharaoh started killing boy babies. They had to throw their babies in the river. When Moses' parents had Moses, they said he was a beautiful child. And they just by faith, they said, we're going to believe God. And they put the baby in an ark and they put him on the river, which means the ark is always a safe place. It was then, it is now. And they put him on the river. And Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him as a son of royalty. He was raised in all the ways of the Egyptians. The Bible said he was mighty in word or deed. In fact, one day it entered his heart, when he was about 40 years old, that he was going to be the deliverer of his people. And he went to his people and he saw an Egyptian supervisor beating a Hebrew man, and he killed the supervisor with his bare hands. He was a strong man. And he buried his body in the sand. The next day he went back and he was trying to talk to the Hebrews, and they said, hey, who made you the ruler over us? You going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? And Moses knew he was in trouble. Here's what happened. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it you've come home so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered our flock. So he said to his daughters, and where is he? Why is it you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. Moses is going through a difficult time in his life. Can you imagine going from royalty where you just snap your fingers and someone's doing something for you? Now you're a fugitive. And you're going out, and he went to this backwater area of Midian, and he's running, and no one knows who he is. No one knows what he's been. And he's probably thinking, this is one of the lowest times in my life. He's got no connections. He has no knowledge of what he's going to do. And he sits by a well. And as he sits by the well, these little shepherd girls come. There's 7 of them, and they bring their sheep. And then here comes some shepherds, some men, and they begin to push the girls out of the way and say, you have to wait till we water our sheep first. Now, Moses probably had enough going on where he could have looked at those people, ladies, and gone, hey, look, ladies, that's y'all's problem. I've got no dog in this fight. I'm out. And he could have stepped away. But he had a willingness to help and a willingness to take on a problem that was not his. And he jumped in, and evidently he had enough where he drove off those shepherds. And the result of Moses helping, first you got to understand this, when he drove off those shepherds and then watered their sheep, that's helping a lot. And for Egyptians, they thought that being a shepherd was the lowest job you could have. In fact, the Bible said that shepherds were an abomination to Egyptians. And yet Moses helped, which kind of went counterculture to everything he'd been taught, but he helped. He had a heart to help. And as a result of that help, those ladies were no longer bullied. The shepherds had been doing this for such a long time that when they showed up early, their dad said, why are you home so early? It's a parent's question. Why are you here early? What did you forget to do? And they said, oh, no. He said, hey, we were helped. This Egyptian, he stood up and helped us. And so the bullying stopped. And because Moses added his strength, the job got done so much quicker and so much better. Well, when Moses comes back, the girls just evidently waved goodbye and Moses walked away. But the father said, hey, where is the guy? And they said, well, you know, he left. And like, why is he not here? And he went out and actually got Moses, who they thought was an Egyptian, and brought him into their house. And all the time, anytime in the Middle Eastern culture, bringing someone into your house is a place of honor. And he honored him. And what we realize is that by helping, Moses made a powerful connection. And he connected with what the Bible calls Reuel or Jethro. And that Jethro became his father-in-law. He married a daughter. And for the next 40 years, that's what he did. He had a job. He opened a door. His help opened a huge door. See, as we think about paths to help, we often just think about, help me, help me. Are there some different paths to help? There are. And let me give you some pointers and tips as you walk on a different path to help. We can see it from Moses. Here's the first one. If on a less traveled road to help, become the help that you want in life. Become the help. What do you mean become the help? I mean, it really invokes what the Bible would call the golden rule. Now, I'm not talking about the golden rule that he who has the gold makes the rules. That's not the rule I'm talking about. Many of you know the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Right. And what that really talks about is it says do unto others. Notice the doing unto others comes first, not waiting for people to do to you and then you do it back. It's doing unto others. It's involving that golden rule. It gets something out there, and you take the initiative, and you become a helper. You say, well, Alan, I need help. You don't understand. I need help. I know. But this is where oftentimes, this is where people get off the path. They get so focused so often on this is what I need, this is what I need, they don't realize that their help is actually opening up paths for God to do something in their life. And what here's another thing you'll find out too. They're doing all kinds of studies, guys. All kinds of studies now on what they call positive emotions and positive therapy. I'm glad. I mean, it's good, but they're trying to find out what makes people happy. And here's what they're finding out. What makes people happy? One of them is having a purpose. And they find when people have a purpose, these are people who live happier. And so when you have a genuine purpose in life, instead of my purpose is I just need help and I want to be happy. No, my purpose is I'm going to find some other people and bless them. Man, now you're starting to get there. Because here's another thing. When you begin to help other people, you're planting good seeds in your life. And you're giving God something to work with. The Bible said in Galatians 6:7, it said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, I know people have used that kind of negative. My mother used to use it negative. Don't you forget. What you're going to sow, you're going to reap. Let's use it on the positive side. Right, she was trying to get me out of sin, but we can use it on the positive side and go, hey, but if I'm sowing help, I'm going to reap help. If I'm sowing kindness, I'm going to reap kindness. If I'm sowing goodness, it's coming back my way. And you give God an opportunity to open up doors in your life that are huge. They're wonderful. Many of you know Joy's story. That when she was in college, she was dating a guy who was he was the son of a very prominent cardiologist in Florida. Cardiologist, heart doctors, those brothers make some money. And this guy was wealthy, and he was tall. He was like 6'4", had blonde hair and blue eyes, and he looked like a Viking. No one ever accused me of looking like a Viking. I look like the people the Vikings used to capture and take in. Not the Viking. And they're talking about marriage, and man, they're in love. And as they're really getting serious, they're in college, they're in Florida State, they're getting serious. And Joy prayed one day, and she said, God, she said, his name was Will, she said, I not my will, but your will be done. She said, I want your will. 2 weeks later, he broke up with her. It devastated her. I mean, she had prayed that prayer, but it's kind of one of those prayers, well, you're hoping God doesn't answer? Yeah. Well, I'm just praying this, Lord, this kind of, but please don't answer this one. But he answered, and they broke up. And it devastated Joy. And to the point where Joy, who was already fragile, Joy was just having a hard time coping. She had to drop. She was doing great in school, but she couldn't even study anymore. She couldn't focus. She had to drop out. Talk about somebody needed help. She needed help. And Joyce comes from an Italian family. You know, Italian families, one thing about them, they're very well connected. They have family people that they know. People that make things happen. You know what I'm talking about? They've got those people, and they sent Joy to California to stay with some family members. And when Joy got out there, her family members, she grown up in a Catholic family, like, well, you're looking for something to do? Joy's like, yeah, I don't have anything to do out here. And they said, well, why don't you go help in this Catholic community agency? And they had a respite home. And the home was for special needs adults and children, severely special needs adults and children. And these were homes where parents would drop off their children just to get a break for a little bit. And there was autism, and some of them just couldn't even function. And so Joy goes, and she shows up the first day, and the lady said, oh, we're so glad you're here. She said, by the way, she said, this is my last day. You're now in charge. 21 years old, and she's now in charge, and she had like 4 kids at that time and all this stuff going on. And she said, I didn't have time to think about anything else. Here I am hurting. Here I am going through a hard time. Now I got to help these kids. I got to pour into these kids. But as she began to help them, God began to help her, and her mind snapped back and her emotions snapped back. And she got so much stronger that by the time she left, she was doing so much better. And she just happened to come through Houston and just happened to visit her sister who lived in Clear Lake City, who just happened to live in the same apartment complex that I lived in. And we just happened to meet. And even though I'm not a Viking, the rest is history. Now, in all honesty, she was going to be, she was on her way to being in a Catholic convent. Thank you. She's not a monastery. That would have livened things up. She was going to a convent in Italy. And we met on the way. And God opened the door. And 3 kids later, obviously, the convent thing never worked out. And so we... But the idea is that as she got involved in helping others, God got involved in helping her. And that's a less traveled path, but it's a wonderful path. Another wonderful path that's less traveled, but it's powerful, is the path of beginning to acknowledge and believe that you actually do have help living in you. 1 John 4:4 is a great verse. It says, "But you belong to God, my dear children, and you have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I like it. I know it out of the King James, "But you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." And so that means that because the greater one lives in you, the bullying stops. And Satan can no longer bully you, and people can no longer bully you, and you are no longer a victim because the one who lives in you is greater, he is stronger, and he is more powerful than anyone that's in the world, and he's in you. No longer do you have to live in dread, and the enemy will tell you, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." You need to rise up and say, "Oh, no, you are not. Because I have a helper. And just like Moses helped those little shepherd girls, I got a helper living on the inside of me, and he will help me." I tell you, if you want to find out more about the Holy Spirit, we're going to run a class that you can sign up for. But you need to find out more about Him, because everywhere you see Him show up in the Bible, something good is happening, something powerful is happening, and He lives in you. And understanding that is a powerful thought. And it changes us from being helpless victims to being people who are God's people who have help on the inside of us. A motorist was traveling in a rural area, and he lost control of his car, and the car pulled over and landed in a ditch, and he couldn't get out, so he walked to a local farmhouse and he asked the farmer for help. The farmer said, "Oh yeah." He said, "Me and Buddy will be down there in just a few minutes." A few minutes later, the farmer showed up with a big old draft horse named Buddy. And he hooked Buddy up to the car, and then the farmer got back and he went, "Pull, Nellie, pull." Buddy didn't move. He said, "Pull, Buster, pull." Buddy didn't budge. He said, "Pull, Jeannie, pull." Buddy ain't going anywhere. Finally, he goes, "Pull, Buddy, pull." And Buddy just easily pulled that car straight out of the ditch. The motorist was real happy. He said, "Thank you, appreciate that." He said, "But I am curious." He said, "Why'd you call that horse by the wrong name 3 times? He said, farmer said, "Oh, no." He said, that's not what I was doing. He said, "That was intentional. You see, old Buddy's blind. And if he thought he was pulling alone, he wouldn't even try." And so... you know where I'm going with this. You're not pulling alone. You've got help on the inside. You've got somebody with you, and he will pull his load. So acknowledging the Holy Spirit that lives in you, who's a helper, is a marvelous way to receive help. If you're going to walk a less traveled path, let me give you my one of my most important truths of walking a less traveled road to help, and that is being grateful. I think gratitude is one of those of God's secret hidden truths. I think it's something that I was raised in the South, and we were taught to be grateful. You know, my mom made me say, "Yes, ma'am," and "No, ma'am," and "Yes, sir," and "No, sir," and "Thank you." And if I didn't say thank you when someone gave me something, it was not going to be good when I got home. I was raised to do that. But I believe that gratitude is a lot more powerful than good manners. I believe that gratitude and being thankful is good faith. And it's one of the best expressions of faith. And if you can begin to be thankful right where you are right now, thankful for the ones that have helped you, thankful for the ones that have done something for you, expressing gratitude makes you enjoy what you have, and expressing gratitude does something in your life. You know, I really believe a marriage tip is if you express thanks to your spouse. So a lot of times we do that early on. You know, we're in the dating phase, and you know, that's the only time when guys actually pick out cards for no good reason. You know, it's like just thinking about you, and we're like, oh, thank you. We buy little fuzzy animals, thank you. And that gratitude, but if you notice over the years, if you're not careful, the gratitude can go away. But one of the best ways to stir your marriage up is to begin to say thank you. God, thank you for my spouse. And look at your spouse and go, thank you. And then if you express, I love you, it makes all the difference in the world. I don't believe a day goes by that Joe and I don't tell each other, I love you. And we say it a lot. Say it to our kids. That's what we do. Expressing that. See, as you express thanks, it makes things more real to you. If you'll express thank you to God that He's given you the Holy Spirit, that He lives in you, that's a great way to become more aware of Him. In Romans, the 4th chapter, we see where Abraham did this. He said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was strengthened in faith as he gave glory. See, one of the things is, as you're giving thanks, your faith is getting stronger. So when you're thanking God, going, Lord, thank you that I have help. Thank you that I am not a victim. Thank you, Lord, that you're helping me. Thank you. Even before you see it, when you do that, your faith is growing stronger. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. He becomes more real to you. Have you ever noticed that if you're going to buy a new vehicle, you start thinking vehicle, especially guys, you guys can appreciate that. You start thinking vehicle. You get on the internet now, you look up vehicles. Then you land on the one you're going to get. And then you start talking, man, you're going to get a truck. I'm going to get a truck. I'm going to get this truck. I'm going to get this Ford truck. That's the Ford truck. And then you notice there's Ford trucks everywhere. Everyone, you ever notice that? Everyone's driving your truck. You're like, wow, I never knew there's so many Ford trucks. They've always been there. But what happened is you became aware of them. When you became conscious of them, anything we speak about a lot, we give life to. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. When you begin to speak life, don't speak what you don't have. Speak what you do have. Don't speak what hasn't happened. Speak what God can do. And it makes it more real to you. That's different. It's a different path, but it's a powerful path. Robert Frost said that at the end of his poem, he said, I say this with a sigh, that somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. A road less traveled is the one that makes the difference. You know, the most less traveled road, but one of the most powerful ones, is the one that Jesus said when he said, enter in by the narrow gate and the narrow way. People say, well, there's a lot of paths to God. No, there's one, and it's Him. Jesus Christ. And if you've never said, Jesus, I need you to be my Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. Or maybe you've done that in time past, you've gotten away from Him, and you know you need to come back. We're going to say a prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It's a different path, but it's a powerful path. So I'm going to ask that you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. Ask no one, Luke, we're going to be out right on time, so please, no one, if you wouldn't move, just out of respect for God and the people around you. If you came this morning and said, Alan, I do need a relationship with God. I do choose that path. I choose Jesus, or I need to come back to Him and reconnect with Him. Would you pray for me? We're going to do that. Would you slip up your hand across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me that you're talking to. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Anybody else? We're not going to call you out. We're not going to make you stand up or come to the front. But if that's you and you say, I want prayer, I want to connect with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him, would you pray for me? Just quickly across this auditorium, slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Anybody else? We'll wait just a moment. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Great. You can put your hands down. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to, and you're like, ah, I missed my opportunity. No, no. God sees those hands, but He also sees your heart. So we're going to pray a prayer. It's a powerful prayer. We're going to pray it with you. It's just as a church family. You can join us in this. This will make a difference as you choose a path that's less traveled, but a path that is good for eternity. So pray this prayer with us out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. As heads are bowed and eyes are still closed, Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. And Father, for those who've come in today looking for help, looking for more of you, thank you, more is available. Thank you, Lord, we don't have to eat sardines and crackers. You've got such a wonderful table prepared for us. And it's all through your Son. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.